I'm Floyd Hall, and this is a Wonder Root artist feature. I have the pleasure today of speaking with artist Jerusha Graham. Jerusha, how are you?
Good, and you?
I'm very well. Glad to have you in today. You are contributing your time and talent to Wonder Root's Deconstructing Binaries Public Art Project. And for our listeners out there, let me give some perspective on that project. Deconstructing Binaries is a community-based public art project that will explore and challenge binary representations of gender identity on public restroom signage. Jerusha, why was it important for you to be involved in this project?
I was really excited to hear about the project. When I was in, right after I finished grad school up in Philly, I worked for a nonprofit arts and social justice organization, and it's called Spiral Q Puppet Theater. And the Q in Spiral Q, when it was initially founded, stood for queer. And our mission at the mission of that organization, because they're still in operation, was to embrace and support the other in society and really offer a platform for voices that didn't necessarily fit within mainstream. And since I've been down here in Georgia, oh my goodness, I guess now 7-8 years now since grad school, I've worked with a lot of different organizations, and I still kind of keep that in my, or that's close to my heart, having an opportunity to embrace multiple perspectives. So I'm really excited about doing this project for that reason.
And it's interesting that bathroom signage is the platform for this, because I think that we grow up with just an accepted male-female version of bathroom signage, and we don't really question that.
Mm-hmm.
So before this project, had you ever questioned that yourself in terms of this binary representation of that?
I had not thought so much in terms of the bathroom signage. There's things that you take for granted, like, you know, living in a society where electricity is easy to come by, you know, flipping on a light switch, you don't think about the process that is behind that magic. But in terms of thinking of that we actually live on a scale versus a binary in terms of understanding of gender and sexuality, yeah, I had thought about that just from experiences in school. So undergrad, I took a psychology class, and we talked about a two-spirited being, which in some Native American cultures is a spiritual leader, a person that doesn't necessarily fit within that binary. And I did a couple of pieces on that in undergrad. And then, like I said, working for Spiral Q up in Philly, our patrons, our artists, our community really lived on various places on that scale.
So help me understand the difference and or distinction between a bathroom sign that may have a few different figures or a few different perspectives illustrated along that spectrum versus a bathroom sign that just says water closet or bathroom or restroom. What is the difference in what those two things represent?
Okay, so if you're looking at a sign that simply says, like you said, water closet or restroom, you're not having to declare publicly your gender or identify your private parts to the world. And something that someone said during the community dialogue at Karis Bookstore was, I don't want everybody knowing my bits is what the term that they use in the conversation. I was thinking, I hadn't thought about that. But, choosing to enter that door that has the little figure of the woman is saying something about, whether it's correct or not, saying something about the body that's entering that door. So that would be the difference.
Also, is it the difference in saying, well, I guess let's imagine what these new signs will look like. Is this a difference or the difference between saying that we are inclusive of all versus being exclusive of none?
I choose to look at it as the inclusive of all or embracing humanity versus exclusion.
Well, so let me recontextualize that. I guess I was saying if you have a sign that says just restroom with no gender, so that whoever enters that door can enter that door, you're not saying that we're inclusive. You're saying that we're just not excluding anyone. If you just have water closet or restroom, it's just a sign that says all are welcome. Versus having signage that depicts.
Gotcha. I see what you're saying.
You follow me?
And I'm still working. My piece is still in progress. So I'm still working that thing out for myself. But I feel like even if it's just the... the thing that says water closet or restroom or, and here we're assuming literacy too, right? Like you have to think about a community that can't necessarily read those words. So how do you translate that visually? But even just that, not necessarily trying to find an image that represents every aspect of the spectrum, is a step towards embracing so that it becomes, again, using the light as an example, something that we don't even think twice about, that this person is using that same space. It becomes something that's as natural as breathing. You know, it's the step towards that, little baby steps.
Let's talk about your own art making. Your background is in printmaking primarily.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your start as an artist and what you focus on in terms of your themes primarily in your work. So your start as an artist, when did you first get that inspiration to create and how did you formalize that into a particular medium?
Art has always been in my life. Like, I can't remember a time that I wasn't making something. And I don't really remember this, but my parents say at 4, I told them I was going to be an artist and I needed a camera and paints. Now, I'm not a photographer or a painter, but that was my understanding of an artist at the time. And they got those things for me. And every year, even now, I'm like, 36, I still get art supplies, birthdays or holiday gifts, that kind of thing. My father actually majored in art education, but then went into the military. So on weekends and things, he would show us how to do the color wheel or draw a nose or different things like that. And my mother has always been creative. She doesn't claim that artistic aspect of herself. If you ask her if she's an artist, she'll tell you no. But she'll look at something and she'll say, I think I can make that. And then the next week she's gotten supplies and she's figured it out. So I was always making stuff.
Do you think that claiming that artist label comes with too much pressure for some people?
Yeah, well, I guess it could be looked at that way, depending on what your definition of artist is.
Okay.
I feel like everyone has a little artist in them, whether they own it or not. I've done and continue to do a lot of community workshops, arts workshops, and I love it when people totally lose themselves and they're into it. They came to bring the kids or whatever, and you look over and daddy's up to his head in paints, and the kids are, daddy, look at this. And daddy is, he's lost it. He's into that paint. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that it's necessarily important to put the label on it, but it's important to have that outlet. I think that creativity is connected to our humanity. Even if it's, you know, it's expressed in different ways. Some people, they put all of their, that creative energy in deciding how they're going to decorate their house or their outfit for the day. Other people may, you know, make little cards or gifts for friends or, you know, but I feel like it's really important for us to stay connected in some way to the creative aspect of ourselves that we all have when we're kids, and then as we get older tend to push away a little bit more. I keep feeling like I'm getting lost in my answers.
We're not lost.
Okay.
We are still on course. Talk about your time at UGA and your travels and getting back to Atlanta, if you will.
Got you. So whenever I went to UGA, I chose UGA because I fell in love with the art building. I wanted to go to a smaller school. I said, oh, I'm going to maybe go to Valdosta because I had done a program when I was a teen there. And was like, oh, it's a small campus, comfortable. My father said, no, let's look at some larger schools. And I was like, I really don't want to go to a big school. And I stepped into the art building and it felt like home. Something about the building, the actual physical structure. So I decided to go to UGA. I should have looked at what was offered because I wanted to be a children's book illustrator, and they didn't have that. They had scientific illustration. I really wasn't interested in that. Luckily, though, I had a mentor, Marie Cochran at UGA. Had not taken any classes with her, but I'd always stop and talk with her because she was one of the few black art teachers. And she said, oh, if you're interested in illustration, you should take a printmaking class. Hook, line, and sinker. When I took printmaking, I love process. And you have to love process to be a printmaker because nothing is immediate. If you want to make a mark, you've got to first do it on the matrix or the block, ink it up, and then print it to see that mark. And I really enjoy that process. Having the time to develop your thoughts just made sense to me. So that's how I ended up becoming a printmaker. While at UGA, helped found a student group initially started for black art students. And then after we had success with doing some exhibitions, we opened the organization up to any students that were interested. And then from UGA, I went up to Philly to do an apprenticeship at the Fabric Workshop and Museum, and enjoyed it so much I decided to do grad school up there. UGA was In the departments I was in, it was a very nurturing environment. So the print department was a small department. So again, I got that small, even though I went to a big school, I got that
right.
That nurturing aspect. And I also got a degree in fabric design, and they also were a small department. Those two, print and fabric, kind of go hand in hand with one another.
A lot of your work deals with themes that relate to the African diaspora.
Mm-hmm.
What about that has continued to inspire you with your art?
Well, I'm an Army brat, so we grew up on military bases. And even though the military base, families are moving and traveling a lot of different places and coming with a lot of varied experiences, my sister and I often found that we may still have been the only black kids in the class or a handful within our classes. And a lot of times it fell to us, especially around February, Black History Month, just kind of bringing that, voicing that perspective, I should say. So to give an example of what I'm trying to say and having a hard time finding the words, we were stationed in Germany for 3 years. That was first through third grade for me. And when we got back, we had to relearn family members because we were little, and when we left, when we came back, we needed to learn all my cousins, aunts, and uncles and all that stuff. So we're coming back and visiting family in South Carolina, and my cousins are saying, "You talk funny." They're looking at us like we're alien. We spoke very proper English, having been studying English in Germany. Coming back, ain't was not in our vocabulary, things like that. So in terms of my work and the importance of representing the black body, the black diaspora, because I don't just want to consider African-American, but the family of African culture that spread throughout the world. It's important to me first to represent myself as an individual, and in doing that, expand the possibilities of what it means to be black, to just throw my hat in the ring in terms of we have a very rich and diverse history and culture, and we need all of us representing our individuality while embracing the thing that connects us as well. I think that's getting at where I was trying to go before. And it's a really powerful thing to look around a room or to look at a piece of artwork and see yourself reflected in that work. When I was at UGA, I really wasn't seeing a lot of black artists in art history class. I had to go to the library for that, looking through books and things and say, oh, there is other black women who are making art that I can relate to. Or just not just black women in general. As early Western art history is the story of white male artists, and then to kind of you really have to search to find the stories of African American artists, women artists, Asian or Hispanic artists. You have to seek those stories out.
Well, I think that's a great place to leave it for now, and I'm looking forward to chatting with you again. But in the meantime, I do want to reiterate your involvement in deconstructing binaries, and we thank you for that. And just so that our listeners can make sure that they are aware of the complete scope of the project, It is Deconstructing Binaries, a community-based public art project that explores and challenges binary representations of gender identity on public restroom signage. Jerusha Graham, let all of our listeners know how they can find out more about you, about your involvement in this project, or anything else that you have going on.
Gotcha. You can see my work at www.artbyjerusha.com, and Jerusha spelled J-E-R-U-S-H-I-A. You can also go to the Atlanta Printmaker Studio site, which is www.atlantaprintmakers.org. I'm on there as well.
All right. Jerusha, thank you for your time.
Thank you.